The Holy Gospel appointed for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in that house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray to the Lord. Let none hear you idly saying, "There is nothing I can do." While the multitudes are dying and the Master calls for you, Lord, gather all your children wherever they may be and lead them onto heaven to live eternally. Heavenly Father, we are challenged again this morning by your Son, Jesus Christ, to go out and make disciples of all nations. And yet, Lord, it's so difficult. It's tough to tell others about Jesus. Sometimes, as we talked with the children today, we're afraid. We're scared. We don't know how they're going to react when we tell them that Jesus loves them and wants them to be part of the kingdom of heaven. So send your Holy Spirit to encourage us this morning to go out and tell it like it is, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
The words that I would like to share with you this morning is taken from the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 10th chapter, with special attention to the following words of Jesus. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This is the word of God. The harvest is plentiful. What a wonderful, exciting, and at the same time challenging statement on this Sunday morning as we once again worship our Lord Jesus and we meditate on his word. Yes, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, Jesus says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that he may send out laborers into his harvest. There's no question about the fact that early on in his 3-year public ministry, Jesus saw the need and the urgency to go and make disciples of all nations. We read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, where Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and finally, but not least, healing every disease and sickness. Yes, Jesus was constantly, during his 3-year public ministry, teaching and preaching and healing. As a matter of fact, we're told that when Jesus saw the crowds, the people out there, following him day after day and week after week, month after month, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's why Jesus chose initially 12 disciples to help him and given them not only the power and authority to drive out demons and heal the sick, but also to preach the kingdom of God. And that's precisely what the disciples did. As they went from village to every town, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere, including the power and authority, imagine, of driving out demons. As a matter of fact, it's interesting to note this morning that in the beginning of Jesus' teaching, preaching, and healing ministry, Jesus only traveled with 4 of his disciples, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee. It was only later on that Jesus traveled with all the 12. And after having trained them, he finally traveled by himself alone as he sent them out ahead of him 2 by 2, including another 7 disciples to go ahead of him 2 by 2 into every town and place where he himself was about to go. But Jesus warned them that it wasn't going to be easy to share the good news, to proclaim the kingdom of God. There were many who were opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, vehemently rejecting the gospel of Jesus, especially the scribes, the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law. They were still going to face strong opposition in spite of Jesus' blessing and
the sending to them by the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them, "Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." In other words, as lambs, you're going to be challenged by those in the midst of wolves. Those who oppose vehemently the gospel of Jesus Christ and the preaching of the kingdom of God. Yes, go your way and travel light, without money bags, luggage, or extra sandals, because the mission, you see, is urgent. Not only that, but when you enter a house, first say, "Peace be to this house." If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. In other words, if you are welcomed and accepted into their homes, stay eating and drinking whatever they give you. For the laborer deserves his wages. But most importantly, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Welcome and heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. However, remember this, Jesus said, when you enter a town and you are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we will wipe off against you." Nevertheless, be sure of this. The kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. In other words, brothers and sisters, if a town rejects the good news of the kingdom of God, Jesus says, leave that house. Don't stay there. Leave it. Because they will suffer the consequences even more than Sodom and Gomorrah suffered in the Old Testament when they were destroyed by a jealous God. And they will be accountable to God on Judgment Day because they rejected the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, when you stop and think about it, that still continues to be true today. It hasn't changed that much. The great urgency, the great need to proclaim the kingdom of God, to go and make disciples of all nations, is still before us as a church and as individuals. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And why did Jesus say that? And why does Jesus say it to us today? Because there are millions and millions and millions of people in the world today who are dying without Jesus as their Savior. And what are we doing about that as a church? Think about it for just a moment. Unfortunately, there are still far too many people out in the world today who adhere to the parable of the rich fool and say to themselves, "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." That popular saying, "Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die." And yet at the end of the day, what will Jesus say to them? Listen to what he says. "You fool, this very night, your life, your soul, will be demanded from you, then who will get what you have prepared for yourself in this world? Who's going to get it? Once you die to this world, you can't take your belongings, your home, your money, everything you own with you. As a matter of fact, Jesus concluded saying in the same parable of the rich fool, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. And we all understand that, don't we? How important it is to be rich, not to this world, but rich toward God. And that's the big challenge Jesus places before us as a church today. Not only here at Shepherd in the Pines Lutheran Church, but the church at large, which all of us belong to, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I remember when I was growing up as a child, and that was a long time ago, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod was very strong in supporting missions, sending out missionaries out into the world. Unfortunately, sad to say, that is no longer true today anymore. And that's what we are challenged to do as a church. We are asked to go out and make disciples of all nations. We have failed the Great Commission, sad to say, and I'll be the first to admit. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's why we need God's love and forgiveness today, again, to renew our commitment. Even here in the Big Bear Valley, up here in the mountains, away from Los Angeles and the traffic and the noise pollution, right here up in the Big Bear Valley, to go our way and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And remember, it might be someone in your family. It could be your close friend. Remember, we talked about it last Sunday. And it could be your neighbor living right next door to you. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know your friends? Do you know everyone in your family? And do they have Jesus as their Savior? Yes, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, and it starts in our own backyard, doesn't it? Where we live. Yes, we ask God's love, mercy, and forgiveness when we have failed to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm always reminded of what John wrote in his first letter. If we confess our sins, God is just and faithful and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we come again to the table of the Lord to receive His true body and true blood and the Holy Sacrament, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven and go in peace. May our prayer today be the words of the hymn of missions. On Galilee's high mountain, Christ gave the great command. Therefore I send my children. Their witness I will use. God bless you in your walk with Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit come into your heart as you pray for missions, as you support missions, as we go out and make disciples of all nations. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, amen.